And welcome everybody into the first edition of the Magic Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Chapman. We're going to do this thing every Monday, look back at the week that was and look forward at the week that will be for your Orlando Magic. Coming up in just a bit, I'll be joined by Dave DeFore from the Nerder She Wrote back-to-back podcast, The Athletic. Dave was in San Antonio on Saturday night, and of course, that's where we begin today. An impressive preseason debut for the Magic. A week ago Monday was media day. Boom, 4 days of training camp, and we're off and running as far as the preseason goes. The Magic in San Antonio on Saturday night, and really a lot to like. It's preseason. Of course, we know what it is. You're not going to get too carried away with one preseason game and one preseason performance, but there are a lot of positives that came out of that game. They win it 125-89, the final score. A lot of team stats that you like to look at. Steve Clifford, after the game, kind of said the same thing. You know, I'm not going to get carried away. There are certain things we got to clean up. But if you're going to play the game, you want to win the game. That's just sort of the way it works. So a 125-89 win over the Spurs. And I think really the biggest storylines that jump out at you is just, how about Markelle Fultz playing basketball? I mean, the guy seemed like the weight of the world had been lifted off his shoulders just by getting out there. He had a very pleased tweet about it afterwards, given thanks to the man upstairs. And Markelle Fultz, 17 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the floor. He was at plus 30 while he was on the floor. The Magic had a 41-17 third quarter in this game. And the bench bunch, Al-Farouq Aminu, the new arrival, Wesley Iwundu, Mo Bamba, Markelle Fultz, and Terrence Ross. I mean, those guys all have plus 27, plus 30, plus minuses on the floor. Michael Carter-Williams was a plus 17. So really in the third quarter with that second unit was where the Magic took control of the game. And it was great to see Markelle Fultz out there and happy, scored his first bucket in a Magic uniform. Again, 17 minutes on the floor. He was 3 of 8, did have 4 assists, did turn the ball over 4 times. But I'll ask Dave about Markelle's jump shot form, how that looked, and a couple things I think that you can read into about Markelle Fultz's premiere on Saturday night against the Spurs. You want to just sort of start to project a little bit, and as Markelle keeps saying, I'm taking it day by day, practice by practice, game by game. But the fact that he was out there was a benefit and a positive in and of itself. And then the effective play that you were able to see from time to time in that game, certainly good news for Markelle Fultz. How about Mo Bamba? I mean, he was phenomenal in this one. 7 of 11 from the field. They had 18 points, 7 rebounds. And he was shooting the three ball, shot 4 of them, didn't knock one down. He was 1 of 4 from three, but Mo Bamba, a very impressive 19 minutes outing and 18 points in 19 minutes. You'll take that, I think, for Mohamed Bamba. So certainly a positive sign for some of the young Magic players. You look at that bench bunch, and that could be a real strength if Mo Bamba is going to contribute the way he was able to. Markelle Fultz, of course, you know, you're just hoping he's going to be out there and able to contribute in that capacity. And then you think about Al-Farouq Aminu. He is a starter on many NBA teams and certainly will be a nice bolster for that second unit. Michael Carter-Williams as well. So you got some talent there. And I do think that, you know, that second unit for the Magic could be one of the better benches in the league. So certainly some good things there. And then when you look at the starters, you know, it was what it was. Jonathan Isaac, I think defensively, that might be what really opened some people's eyes this year. The versatility, you know, he came back to reported for media day and training camp, and according to what we know, he grew like vertically over the off season. So Jonathan Isaac's just 22 years old, still growing vertically, did add some weight during the off season, and he said very specifically, I added the right kind of weight, and I do need to bulk up a little bit and make sure I'm adding muscle and really preparing myself for the rigors of an NBA season, because, you know, that's, I mean, you get to mid-January and February, and if you're a guy who's, you know, really accentuating the versatility that Jonathan Isaac has defensively, then you're going to want to make sure you're able to bang down there with the big fours and fives and able to sustain that physicality. And what a test it'll be tonight in Detroit against Andre Drummond and those Pistons, Blake Griffin obviously as well. It's a little bit more of a test, I think, as far as physicality goes, maybe, than you saw against the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday night. Without further ado, let's head to San Antonio, back to San Antonio. Dave DeFore hosts the Nerder She Wrote podcast, back-to-back podcast for The Athletic. He's on Twitter at DaveDeForeNBA, and he was in San Antonio Saturday night as the Magic made their preseason debut, a 125-89 win over the Spurs. And Dave, We'll get to Markelle Fultz in just a minute, but if you could, just give me your overall impressions of the Magic team you saw on Saturday and just kind of what kind of expectations you have for them this year.
Well, I mean, listen, they've got a lot of length. They're extremely athletic. And if Jonathan Isaac can be the terror that I saw against the Spurs, I think that all NBA defense is in his future this year.
This year, you think that's a realistic expectation? I mean, he obviously the potential is there, Dave. And I mean, the kid grew over the summer. And I know we all make jokes about adding weight, but he grew vertically over the summer.
Yeah.
And it struck me so far being down here and being around him, that guy's got a superstar personality. As soon as the game matches the personality, he's going to be an absolute star. But you think defensively he can be at that level this soon?
Well, he can guard anyone, and he can guard in any way. He can guard on the ball. He's a tremendous help defender. He's extremely long, so he bothers anyone smaller than him, but has a really nice feel for the defensive end, so he's able to guard even elite players. I mean, I really thought he did a great job. I watched him on one possession guard LaMarcus Aldridge on a post-up and stonewall him, and then the next possession he guarded DeJounte Murray, who was trying to drive past him and couldn't. And I think when you have that kind of versatility, the sky's the limit. And by the way, that kind of exemplifies the entire team. They're extremely versatile. They're very long. There was a moment where they had Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac on the court at the same time. And I feel like those two guys could just stand fingertip to fingertip and pretty much cover the entire court. And that's a good place to start defensively. And when you add the continuity, Steve Clifford, such a great coach. I do think that this team, people are sleeping on this team. I think they could be better than last year. It requires, you know, some growth from some of the young guys, but I like what I saw the other night.
How underrated is Steve Clifford?
Extremely. Most people don't even know his name. And he's one of the, you know, he's one of the six or seven best coaches in the league for my money. And you know, I'm a guy that knows a thing or two about coaching. So, I mean, I just think that this guy, you look at what he's done previously in Charlotte, what he's done in Orlando with, you know, lesser talent than some of his peers. And I mean, he's always maximizing. I mean, Kemba Walker certainly put in the work himself, but Steve Clifford, I think, is partially responsible for what Kemba has turned into, which is, you know, a max level NBA player. And we're already seeing the effects in Orlando and some of the things that he's already done. The guy is a fantastic coach. He's a good motivator, but he's also, you know, good with the X's and O's, and he's a player's coach. So I think, yeah, I mean, he's completely overlooked when we talk about the best coaches in the league.
Dave DeFore with me from the Back-to-Back podcast on The Athletic. This is the Magic Weekly podcast. Jake Chapman here with you. All right, tell me about Markelle. What'd you see? I think obviously just getting out there was a win. He was very happy and tweeted about it after the game. Just playing basketball is a day-by-day sort of goal for him right now, and we'll see a little bit more tonight in Detroit. But what'd you see Saturday from Markelle, Dave?
Yeah, I think just having him on the court was huge. And, you know, from a basketball standpoint, he was very effective. I mean, had a nice transition dunk, hit a little fadeaway jump shot. That was his first bucket. I watched him in warmups, and I'm not a huge fan of the jump shot, but it is a repeatable motion, and he's getting the shots up. I mean, he attempted two threes. One was at the buzzer, and he shot an air ball, but, you know, it is what it is. He's taking the shots. He's not shying away from contact when he's penetrating. That's huge. That means to me that the mental hurdle isn't as severe as it was last year because he's not scared to go to the free throw line. And by the way, I saw him in warmups shooting free throws. And I wish I'd snagged video because his free throws look pretty good. I mean, he was making them, but also there was no hitch. It was nice and smooth. So I think that that's a huge, huge benefit for him. And again, just being healthy, being on the basketball court, when you got a guy with that much length who actually tries hard defensively, and you couple him with all the other defenders and the length that you've got out there, I think that he could be a ceiling raiser for this team.
Is everything still on the table for him, potential-wise? I mean, you watch him, sometimes it looks so effortless the way he's able to use the hezzy dribble and that change of pace and just kind of get where he wants to on the floor. Offensively, can he still live up to, I mean, obviously it's going to be a long road back, but can he still live up to all the potential of the number one pick?
Well, okay, so if he's not going to shoot like we expected him to coming out of college, then no. I mean, let's just be honest about it. If he's not going to be that player, then no, he'll never hit that, you know, top 30, let's say, in the NBA potential. But he does have a lot of craft to his game. I think that his finishing ability around the basket is actually really good. Again, he's super big for a one. That's helpful. So there are ways for him to be a good and effective player. Is he going to be an all-star? I doubt it. You know, again, the shooting does matter. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't. But he does have some of that hardened kind of slithery craft to his game. He's big. He can use that to his advantage. So, you know, there's no reason why he can't be a starter in the NBA, you know, at some point. And maybe even this year. I mean, again, we don't know what this guy is going to be because we haven't seen him in the league.
Sure.
We don't know what he's going to be. There are a lot of people that have made a lot of proclamations about Markelle Fultz. And, you know, we spend a lot of time on the internet, unfortunately, and you know, everything's a hot take and everybody's a bust. You're either the best, one of the five best players in the league, or you're a bust. And I don't operate that way. I don't see this guy as a bust. This is year three. I want to see what it looks like when he actually gets a chance to come out and play in an environment that seems really healthy for him. I think that the coaching staff there, the front office, they've done a great job of taking care of this guy. Remember, this is a young kid. Worked his butt off his entire life to get to the NBA and has almost had that dream stolen from him due to an injury. I want to see what it looks like when he's in a healthy environment and actually given an opportunity to flourish. That's what I'm really excited for this year.
Yeah, and I asked him about 2 weeks ago. I said, does this feel like it's the right spot for you? And I do think there's something to be said for, you know, maybe a little bit higher level of anonymity, I guess, just kind of being able to get back to what got you here and having that pressure taken off. I don't know if it needed to be Orlando, but I certainly think he probably needed to be out of Philadelphia. Let me ask you about Mo Bamba. He's a guy who sort of flashed last year. Obviously, injuries shortened his rookie season, but obviously a ton of potential there, and we didn't get a chance to watch the game on Saturday. There wasn't a TV broadcast, but we were on the radio with it, and he sounded fantastic. 18 points, 7 of 11 shooting. Grabbed 7 rebounds as well. What'd you see from Mo?
If that Mo Bamba is the Mo Bamba you're going to get this year, that's pretty good.
Mm.
I think you're going to see a lot of Mo Bamba if this is the real Mo Bamba. The 3 ball looked excellent. He's shooting it with confidence, and it's nice and smooth going up. The combination of him and Jonathan Isaac, I mean, I don't know how teams could score against the two of them. And I think it puts you in an interesting position with Vooch, because Vooch needs to play. Vooch is better than Bamba right now. But going forward, if this Bamba is like a taste of the potential of Bamba, you really want to get him out there and get him reps. So, I mean, this is a good problem to have. And luckily, you got a good coach and a good coaching staff that's going to know how to use these guys. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a good amount of Bamba, and in particular, Bamba and Isaac, Bamba and Gordon. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be fun, man. This team, their ceiling to me is like 4 seed in the East. The middle of the East is kind of bunched up. We don't know what Oladipo is going to look like when he comes back. I'm not a big believer in the Nets without Kevin Durant. I think the Celtics took a major step back. And, you know, I think that there's an opportunity there for Orlando to actually make a little bit of a jump, potentially have home court advantage in the playoffs.
Dave DeFore, you can see and hear all his work over at The Athletic, the back-to-back Nerd She Wrote pod, one of my favorites. Dave, thanks for the time, brother. Appreciate it. You rock.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
There he is, Dave DeFore. He's the best. Make sure you check out all of his stuff. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Dave DeFore NBA, and the Nerd She Wrote pod that he does with Mota Kill is an excellent, excellent addition to the podcast family for The Athletic, and of course the back-to-back pod. Dave's all over the place. As we look ahead to this week, Magic at Detroit tonight. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip. And of course, you got Magic tonight on 96.9 The Game, beginning at 6:30 with Brandon Kravitz and myself. The Magic will be in Atlanta Wednesday night. That'll be a 7:30 tip. Pre-game starts at 7 on the radio side. And then on Friday night, first home game. First chance for Magic fans to see Markelle Fultz in a game in a Magic uniform. That'll be on Friday night against the Boston Celtics. And then on Sunday, it's a busy week. We got 4 games in the next 7 days. On Sunday, next Sunday, the 13th, the Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers. That will be a 6 o'clock tip on Sunday at Amway Center. So big week, the Pistons, the Hawks, the Celtics, and the Sixers all coming up in the next week. And then we're just about there. Then you have one more preseason game against Miami. That'll be October 17th. And opening night, we're what? About 16 days away, a little over 2 weeks away from opening night. The Cleveland Cavaliers, the Orlando Magic, Wednesday, October 23rd at the Amway Center. That's going to do it for me. This has been the first and hopefully not the last edition of the Magic Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Chapman. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. It's at Jake Chapman OM. Magic Weekly, the podcast, coming your way in 1 week. Thanks so much, everybody.